Excellent. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for this privilege to preach a message on Easter Sunday. Thank you, I get to come and declare that you are risen. Thank you, Lord. He is risen.
Yes.
Risen indeed. Okay, bit of a story first. Don't worry, Sam, it's not the Easter Bunny joke. I love this joke. I love this joke, but Sammy says I'm not allowed to tell it, but most of you have heard it, so I won't tell it. But today, I phoned Sammy this morning to say, Sammy, can you bring over our milk, our unopened milk, because there was none in Father's house. So that's fine. She brings across the milk and like, that's brilliant. Bring it up here. It gets used. No problem. We go off to Ingi's, buy some more milk. And I think, right, that's lovely. I'll take it into Father's house. I'll put it in the fridge and I'll mark it. What does that say?
Kirsty's.
Kirsty's. What does that say? Crusties. Oh, hello. Oh, I'm preaching. Oh! Okay, what's it say, Donnie?
I'm going to take
my time. Crusties. It says Crusties. Okay. Whose milk is that?
Crusties.
Who didn't open it?
Crusties.
Which is quite funny to me because tonight I was going to talk about forgiveness and sacrifice. So, who knows, when I phoned Sammy this morning and said, can you bring over the milk? That was me giving out of what I had to the church, thinking I'm doing a really good deed right here because I really wanted to earn some points. No, just I had it there, it was unopened, Ingi was going to be open, going to get some more milk, no problem. So I wanted to give and bless and it's lovely, so did that. Thought, get some more milk, mark it nice and big and bright and bold so everyone can read that it's Kirsty's milk. And then I find this! Who knows, I've got every single opportunity right now to get offended at that. It's okay, it's okay. Katrina, did you open my milk? It's okay because I forgive you. All right. It was Graham's first, but I bought it from him. You know, sacrifice is always a seed. It's always a seed. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, it was because when the wheat goes into the ground and dies, a whole abundance of wheat is coming up afterwards. When Jesus died on the cross, it was so that we could all inherit sonship. So we all get to be sons and daughters of the King. So it really excites me that I gave this milk and some of it got shamefully stolen. because this sacrifice is going to have a seed attached to it. So I'm going to be so thankful for every time there's a bottle of milk in Father's house, because I'm going to really enjoy my tea, drinking the fruit of the seed that I sowed. All the way back in Genesis, you know the story of Abraham and how he takes Isaac away up to the mountains and takes him up to sacrifice him. Now, pretty sure Isaac had a fair idea of what was about to go on. No lamb, no rope, no, well, bit of rope. There was some rope, and he got tied up and all that jazz. Gets laid on this altar, and he's like, Dad, what on earth are you doing? don't put that knife anywhere near me. And Abraham's commitment to sacrifice his son, God stopped him from doing it, but it was a seed for Jesus, for God to say, I can give my son to you so that he can die for you. Because Abraham and God had a covenant. So whatever Abraham did, God could do the same for us. So his obedience to sacrifice left the door wide open for God to sacrifice his son. So he would reap Jesus. It also says about Abraham, the same guy who is amazing because of his obedience without even being told what to do. It's like he just wanted to bless God. So he meets this guy in Melchizedek, and he's come along and he says, right, here's a tenth of everything I owe, of everything I own. And it says in Hebrews that when he gave that money, that tenth, he was actually sowing a seed for the Levites. So the Levites lived off the ground. So his own great, 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 great grandchildren, or however many generations down, were living off the seed that he sowed. And let's go to Philippians 2. No, it's just bits of paper marking the page, don't worry. I'm not worried. So Philippians chapter 2, and let's have a look. So verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Say, let this mind be in you.
Let this mind be in
you. Whose mind is it? It's Jesus' mind. Okay. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was in the form of God, okay? And he stripped himself of everything. But we've also been made in his image. So when he came as man, he was just like us, in the image of God. So just like Jesus can say, this says, let this same mind be in you that was in Jesus, who is in the image of God. It's very, 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 very true for us that we could live as the image of God with the mind of Jesus. That makes sense. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Well, you know, we've been made to be co-heirs with Christ, which puts us on an equality with him. The bride and the groom are a combined entity. So we have got as much authority on earth as Jesus had.
Yes, Lord.
So he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he wasn't cringing thinking, if I talk and I start proclaiming or I start declaring truth, that's going to make me sound arrogant or big-headed or working in some authority that isn't my own. But in reality, Jesus was preaching and bringing the authority of God that he was given. Same as us, we can go, we can start declaring over this land what we expect to see as God to them. God says to Moses, I'm going to make you like a God to Pharaoh. You're going to appear to Pharaoh and speak as though you are God to him. It's going to happen exactly as you say. But he made himself of no reputation. Okay, so he's away up. He knows he's got authority. He knows that he's equal with God. But he's getting down to the lowest point in order to serve. So we know that, you know, we're righteous, we're healed, but you know what? I'm not going to walk into someone's life and say, well, I never sin because I'm righteous, because that doesn't help them. That's taking my authority and speaking down to them rather than making myself of no reputation. So that's taking away, righteous is who I am, but it's not a facade. It's not who I present myself to be. If somebody is sinning, I need to come down and be there for them to bring them out of it. I have to be at their level. So I come down and say, I've been there. I've done that. I've been a sinner as well. I've sinned. Can't come with me though, because I know a better way. but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. So he was completely joined to the people he was going to serve. He was committed to serving no matter what the cost. That's why he got down and washed the feet of his disciples, because he was committed to serving, even though it was demeaning. This is the Son of God. Even though he was in situations where he was going to get some reputation, consorting with sinners and thieves and tax collectors, he was putting himself in prime position to get every kind of accusation chucked at him. But he really didn't care, because he cared for the people more. This is our mandate. This is what God's told us to do. Do we get alongside someone who has fallen down and is in the worst place they could possibly be? Or do we withdraw from them completely because we're too righteous or holy or perfect to have anything to do with them? Jesus got alongside them and picked them up. And coming under the likeness of a man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus has stepped down from heaven. He's now appeared as a man. And then he humbles himself even further than that. He's not just a servant now, but he's actually dying a death of the worst of the sinners, nailed to a cross. But how much does our reputation mean to us? Would you be willing to stand next to someone, to be crucified next to a murderer or a thief? Would you be willing to stand with them and say, come with me, I know a better way? You will be with me in the kingdom. Because that's what Jesus did. Whilst he was dying the most excruciating cross, being killed with murderers, with thieves, being crucified with no good cause, he was willing to go through it because it meant, firstly, that thief who was next to him was going to get into the kingdom. And then when he died and rose again, for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord to come into the kingdom. How much does our reputation mean to us? Because if we're willing to lay it down and lay it to one side, how many people are going to come into the kingdom? And it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to... I've been reading this gentleman's blog who's gone away to Singapore, I think it is, and he's working along on the streets and he's talking and meeting with harlots, these prostitutes on the streets. And every day he's proclaiming, God loves these women. We bought them all flowers. We took them chocolates. We're working alongside them. We're telling them how much God loves them. And for anybody watching this, the people on the streets walking by who see all these women parading themselves and these gents taking them flowers and chocolates are going to be thinking straight away they're going to visit them for their services. He made himself of no reputation. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of our Father. We get that same privilege to bring people into the revelation, the truth of Jesus being their Lord. All it takes is our sacrifice. I've been in situations where it's really cost me something to forgive, because I've had to lay down all of my rights to be offended, to be see justice done, to see what in my mind ought to have happen. I've had to lay all that down because I wanted to see the person blessed. And it's what Jesus calls us to do. In Romans chapter 12, it says that we should pay more attention to the people around us. We should be more invested in what they are doing than ourselves. We should prefer people above ourselves. I'm going to read it because I need to get these words right. So it says, verse 9, chapter 12, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So there's a call for us to honour people more highly than ourselves, to give them the honour, the space, the opportunity that really is equally available to us. Say there's three or four of us and there's one space on a mission trip. It will cost me to stand back and say, let so-and-so go, because they'll do an amazing job. That's cost me my space. But that's what we're called to do. See, let this same mind be in you commands a sacrifice. Jesus didn't. Everything else was out of the way. Every other thought about how much it was going to cost him personally was out of the way by the time it came to come to the cross. He had a time in the garden where he's saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't possible. Sometimes we call out and say, Lord, just sort this situation out for me. Let me see your glory in this. Let me see what I think is just happen, and it's just not possible because somebody else has to get the glory for it. Somebody else has to be saved for it. Jesus had to go to the cross. There was no other way so that every son and daughter could come into the kingdom. Our sacrifice always has seed attached. And the stuff that comes against us, that hurts us, that is the worst things imaginable. And there's plenty of chances for us to be offended. But our sacrifice, our choice not to be offended but to carry on to love, carry on loving people, though it costs us something, it might cost us our reputation, it might cost us our own well-being, it will see them being restored, reconciled, brought into a relationship with their Father. Our sacrifice always has a seed, and we have to count those opportunities as a sacrifice. If you change those opportunities to be hurt and offended into a sacrifice, you open the door for God to do amazing things, to come through and sweep through every conception of what could or couldn't happen. In Romans chapter 12, at the beginning of the chapter, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service." See, our worship, our whole being is wrapped up in this. If we say that we love God and we don't love each other, we have nothing to do with him. It's all lies. We don't even pattern his likeness in that. We don't look like him. We don't sound like him when we start judging people outside of the church. We pattern him when we get down and get alongside them. And it's interesting to me that it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not just a mental ascent. It's not just lining up with the Spirit and hearing what God says about it is bringing everything in line. Because if Jesus could go to the cross and die for us, for all our sins, then what is it to us, the little tiny sin that someone has caused to us? You see what I mean? Like, somebody might nick your milk. Okay? What is that compared to the death of Jesus on the cross, where he was dying for every single person who's lied, cheated, stealed, murdered, committed adultery, for every single person on the face of the planet that ever was and ever will be? It's mind-blowing. So I have no right to be offended. I have no right to hold unforgiveness against somebody. None whatsoever. Because if Jesus didn't feel that he could justly say, I'm not going to forgive you, then what right do I have to say, I'm not going to forgive you? And sometimes forgiveness is the hardest thing. People say, sorry is the hardest word, but saying I forgive you is an awful lot harder. Because you can say it, but it takes a long time sometimes for you to line up with it. Bill Johnson wrote this week, capture your moments of loss and disappointment and use them as the setting for sacrifice of praise. Give it to him now, because there will be no chance to give the same gift to him in eternity, as there will be no more loss or disappointment there. These, the things that come against us, the things that disappoint us, the things that hurt us, are opportunities to make sure that God gets glorified. I don't know why this is happening, but God is still good, and I love him anyway. I was going to read about the parable of the unforgiving servant. You remember there's a, Jesus tells this parable of this man who's owed lots of money. And he calls in the guy to get the money back. And the guy says, give me a few more days so I can get it together. And he says, okay, I'll give you that. The next moment, this guy, he's pulled in one of his mates who owes him a lot of money and is putting him in jail for it. So often we can be like that, man. We forget that we've been forgiven everything. And yet we want people to account for the wrongs that they've done for us, to us. And when we forgive them, that guy who didn't forgive his mate for owing him all that money and got him shoved in prison, ended up in prison himself. Our unforgiveness locks us into a state where we can't be forgiven. Find that story in Matthew 18. I won't read it, but I want to read this, the last verse. It says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We've got a high call tonight to become unoffendable.
Amen.
We've got so many opportunities to get offended. I see them every day at work. Honestly, you would not believe. Like, the chances and the things that people get offended over. Okay? Somebody uses too much milk at work, and it's a huge issue. Oh my goodness, they've used too much milk. And it's like, what does it matter at the end of the day? What does it matter that milk's getting used up? Because it's nothing. It's so insignificant. And what does it matter if somebody has done harm to me, has betrayed me, when you look at it in light of what Jesus did? Because if he can forgive, being God and being righteous, being holy, being perfect, then there is no reason why I can't. Father, I thank you for your word to us tonight. Father, I pray that we would have an attitude of sacrifice towards our brothers, towards our sisters, towards those we come across. Father, I pray that tonight you would expose any areas of our lives where we hold unforgiveness, Lord. And I pray that there be a release of a grace for forgiveness, that we would know that we can forgive because you've forgiven us. And Lord, that it's not only something we can do, but it's something we must do. Because you have given us the power and authority to forgive people's sins. Yeah. Father, I thank you that this is part of your kingdom. And Father, we expect it to come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you would be glorified in this, that your name would be lifted high, that we would all have testimonies of how your goodness changed situations around for your glory, Father, and that we could be a people who people know that we are your disciples because we love one another unconditionally, Lord. Father, just seal this word up in Jesus' name. Amen.